Well, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Rose here, and once again, welcome to Transformation Tuesday. So in the next 15 to 20 minutes, I know I used to say 10 minutes, but I know we usually go over because there's so much great information I want to share with you guys. But it's my desire to plant a seed within you and nourish the seed with words that will hopefully cultivate that seed and help you get from where you are to where you want to be. Because again, it's 7 a.m. in the morning, and we have people calling all the way from the West Coast where it's 4 a.m. We have Chicago callers. We have Atlanta callers. We have East Coast callers. So if you guys have made a commitment to call in at this early in the morning, something tells me that you've already made it to start living your life in full bloom. So I want to get started with the call today. I want to, before we get started with today's topic, just briefly touch on the toxic last week, how to deal with toxic people. I had a lot of great feedback from several of the callers who found the information very useful on how to cope with it. But one feedback or message in particular I wanted to just touch on, because they questioned, what do you do when you need to just totally eliminate toxic people from your life? And while it's true that very often we have to deal with toxic people in the workplace or in families where we have no choice to be around them, it's always best if you do have a choice, if there is a possibility, be this maybe a friend who's toxic or a relationship or whatever it may be, to eliminate people from your life, because as we mentioned last week, one of the risks of having toxic people in your life is that they will stagnate you and prevent you from going to the next level if you allow that to happen, you know, if you feed into that energy. And that's why we really center that around coping with those type of individuals. But on to today's topic. Today I want to talk about challenging what you know. And some people ask, what does that statement mean? That really doesn't make much sense, but we'll get into that. What really prompted me to discuss this topic was a couple weeks ago, I was honored to serve as keynote speaker for an event called the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And this tea party was hosted by a wonderful lady in our area by the name of Raquel Wilson. She decided, you know, she shared that she wanted to host a tea party because as a little girl, she remembers sitting down on a regular with her grandmother and having tea. This was one of their rituals. This was one of their traditions that they shared together, and that really helped to shape her as a young woman. You can only imagine the conversations between a grandmother and granddaughter that would go on during that time. So that got me to thinking about tradition. And we all can relate. We, you know, if you grew up in a family, you have certain traditions we can relate to. You think about holiday times, there are traditions that people have, birthday times, there's traditions, just all types of traditions that may be unique to your particular family. And while when we think of tradition, we often think of those things that make us feel good, like having tea with our grandmother or the Thanksgiving dinner and the particular dishes that we serve. But truth is, there's a flip side to tradition. There's a lot of tradition that many of us can relate to that we have in our families that's probably not the best thing to carry on. Think about it. What are some of the traditions that maybe were instilled in you early on in your life as it relates to anything from money? I've heard people over the years talk about how they were really raised to believe money is the root of all evil. Just think about how that would affect you in life. What is a tradition as it comes to relationships or marriage or even men? You know, throughout the years of my practice, I've had many women to come in, and their firm belief is that every man cheats. That's their belief. That's their tradition, because that belief has been instilled in them from the very beginning. What's your tradition about really wanting to launch out and achieve things on your own? You know, there are people who were really urged not to do that, you know, not to, because other family members may have felt threatened, or you're leaving people behind. And as a result, there are people who really stifle their own growth, their own blooming because of tradition. So I want to talk about, why do we carry on traditions such as beliefs and behaviors that are counterproductive to our success? Why do we carry on these traditions? Just take a moment and even think about the traditions that exist within your particular family. But we carry these traditions on because most people are what psychologists call, this is a term I want you to remember, cognitive misers. If we want to break down that term, cognitive means thinking, and we all know what misers mean, stingy, keeping it to themselves. But cognitive misers are people who prefer not to incorporate any new thought patterns in their lives. Instead, they recycle the same beliefs, truisms, and mindsets that have been ingrained in them from their childhood. So any situation they may encounter that's contrary to their particular belief is immediately disregarded as untrue. It's untrue. We're not going to consider it. I don't want to see the other perspective. I've always said one of the, for me, the telltale signs of adulthood, and when I say adulthood, I don't mean turning 18. I mean someone who has really reached a level of maturity that's healthy. It's someone who can really examine all the beliefs, the truths, the traditions that were really imposed onto them as a child, who can really examine that in adulthood and say, okay, what works for me and what doesn't? Because there's people who can't do that. There are individuals who, you know, everything that was told to them, they're going to continue to hold that true from the time it was instilled until the time they take their last breath. But on average, most people choose not to disrupt any long-regarded belief system they've come to know and embrace because it will require them to think about a different perspective. And again, if we're most of us want to walk around as cognitive misers, we don't want to use that energy to consider the possibility that maybe some things don't hold true for us. But it's so necessary for us to do that. It's so necessary for us to do that to reach a level of just understanding and fulfillment and within our lives. So in my book, Bloom's Seven Steps to Personal Transformation, in Chapter 2, there's a section called Challenge What You Know. Challenge What You Know. Muhammad Ali once said that if a person at the age of 50 still thinks the same as they did at the age of 30, they've wasted 20 years of their life. I think that's a very deep quote and very true as well. But one thing to consider is that the only constant in life is change. The only constant in life is change. And this is contrary to what a lot of us have been told, I know that myself included. But truths, even ultimate truths, don't always hold true. You know, there are things in our lives now that we consider the ultimate truth. There are things in our world we consider the ultimate truth that won't be true 20 years from now. So going back to that quote, the only constant is change, understand that some of your personal truths now may change, and that's okay. That's okay. The worst thing we can do in life is fight against change. Think about it. There was a time in life when everyone thought the world was flat. There was a time in our lives when people believed there's no way folks could get from Michigan to Florida in under, you know, 4 hours, 3.5 hours or what have you, because we wouldn't be able to get a machine up in the air and fly it. You know, these are things that were long, for long periods of time, longer than that were held true, but they're no longer true. They're no longer true. So I want you to consider that when even consider some of the individual personal truisms that you have as it relates to your life and your ability and your potential. Start putting some of these truths under the microscope and examine if it holds true for you. We develop a lot of these truisms because our parents, their parents before them, lived in a world where a lot of these things that were instilled upon us was true for them. So we have to consider what was the world view when these truths or these traditions that we hold in our family, what was the world view when they developed? Because that's going to help us understand why it may not fit for us now. And it's not a slap in the face to your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents or to your culture if those truths don't hold true for you today. That's part of just this constant of change that we know. So you have to consider the worldview. Years ago, I remember training a group of people for the Rosa and Raymond Parks Institute when they used to take teams in the metropolitan Detroit area on the Trail of Tears for the country, following the trail that the Native Americans had to take during that horrific time. And I can remember there was an elderly lady, you know, beautiful woman in her late 70s. And we were examining things like, because we had to train these people who were going to be around kids and make sure that they had a good understanding of themselves, because that's so important in helping others to have an understanding of yourself. So one of the questions that we asked, what was the worst thing that was ever said to you? And this, I can remember this elderly woman thought about it and her eyes filled with tears, and she shared the story about how her grandmother had called her a liar. They called her a liar. And this was 1940s, in the 40s when this happened. It's not like the word liar or lie now. You know, when you think of that word now, kids can say it. Now I know when I was growing up, we couldn't say that word. It was considered just a dirty word, lie or liar. And we would, you know, definitely get punished if that word was said. So you can imagine in the 40s, to call someone a liar was the worst insult that you can give a person. But she said her grandmother had called her that. And it stuck with her for all these years, stuck with her so much that even at the age, like I said, near 80, her eyes filled with tears when she recalled this event. So one of the things that we did, and one of the things I want you guys to do, is to start reframing some of these things, some of these truisms, some of these beliefs that you have. And I'll talk about reframing in a second. But what we asked the woman was, what was going on? What was the worldview? What was going on during that time that may have influenced her grandmother to say something that was so out of character for her? And she thought about it, and she shared with us how her mother had left her and her three siblings with her grandmother, had just disappeared. And it was during the Great Depression, and food was scarce. In fact, they only had, I think she said, two cans of some type of food, corn or whatever, to feed the four children and the grandmother. And when the grandmother came home, one of the cans was missing. And so here she is with one can of food to feed five people. And when she inquired who took the food, everyone said no, including the woman who was in our workshop. And the grandmother replied, "You are lying. You're a liar." And what we helped the woman to understand was that the grandmother was under an immense amount of stress. It's not to excuse what was said, but to understand what was said. She was under so much stress, distress, from being in a time where people weren't being fed, where money was just not there, where everyone was in this Great Depression and just feeling the effects of everything, and she was now responsible for feeding the mouths of four children that she didn't have to feed before. And that simple reframing help this woman to relieve herself of almost 60 plus years of just shame that she had within her for what her grandmother said. So reframing is just a process of understanding what was going on to cause the situation. So for you guys, reframing is going to help you understand, as you examine all these traditions that you hold true, do they hold true for me? Maybe it did hold true for your parents, even some of my own reframing. I grew up where if you got pregnant by someone, you married that person. No ifs, ands, or buts about. So when I had my first child in undergrad, it was just no other thought but I have to marry this person. It wasn't, you know, if this is a good match or what have you, but this was my truism. This was my belief. And so I followed suit with that, which wasn't the best thing to do. So there are questions I want you guys to ask yourself to challenge what you know, to challenge some of these beliefs that you have that may be holding you back, maybe holding you back from living your life in full bloom. So ask yourself some questions and I'll post these questions on my business page, In Full Bloom with Dr. Rose on Facebook. And those of you who may not be on Facebook, I can also, if you go join my mailing list on my website, drrosemolton.com, I'll be sure to put them there as well, send them to you in a PDF or email file. But some of the questions is, when and where was each of your parents born and raised? Where was the geographical location? And these questions are in my book as well. The it's very important because the societal events and the time and the geographical location where people were born definitely influences their belief system. You know, what about their childhood? Ask yourself questions about that. Did your mother have a happy childhood? Did your father have a happy childhood? Describe both, because it's very difficult for a person who did not have a happy childhood or who had a traumatic childhood to instill healthy and beliefs that's not filled of fear into their children. So you have to examine that. What about work and career? What did they feel about work and career? I've had clients over the years to tell me that their parents told them college was a waste of time. And many of you guys can agree with that. Think about the time during the automobile industry heyday here in the metropolitan Detroit area. I can remember being in high school where the ultimate goal for most of the students in the high school was to get a referral to one of the big because if you worked for one of the big three, you knew you had a good life. You lived this great middle-class life like many of us did. But think about that doesn't hold true anymore. We don't live in a time where the big three is just automatically means a great livelihood for a person. So this is a truism that doesn't hold true. What about personality? These are just some of the things to consider. What about marriage, relationships, and sex? What are some of the beliefs about that? There are, you know, a time where the belief was you never engage in premarital sex. And some people may still have that belief. Some people don't because of maybe they see that's not their truism anymore. What about marriage? There are people who believe that you marry and you stick with the same person. You never divorce, even if it's a horrible relationship. I'm treating a person now who spent the last over 20 years in a very abusive relationship because this was her belief. What about relationships? So what I want you all to do is to challenge any faulty beliefs that you may have. Any faulty beliefs that you may have that's based on the truisms and the traditions that were instilled upon you early on in life. It's time for us to empower ourselves because one of the fundamental errors that exists in our society today is the fact that the majority of us are struggling to empower ourselves in this 21st century, but we're still approaching life with a 20th century mindset and mentality that may have worked for our parents, but it's become outdated and downright detrimental to our own empowerment. So my charge to you, my challenge for you guys, is to really examine these truisms, these traditions. Refer to some of the questions that I shared early on, and again, I'll put them on my social media site, and start really putting these things under the microscope. Examining them or challenging them is not disrespect to your parents or grandparents. You know, it's honoring what they ultimately wanted for you, and that's the best life possible. That's the best life possible. So in closing, I want to, again, thank you all for honoring me with your time this morning because, as I've said before, I'm so passionate. There's nothing that I'm passionate more about than really helping people to understand that they can live a good life. They can live a very fulfilling, rewarding life and instilling them with the tools to do so. And I want, if you guys are interested in me coming to speak to your organization or business or company, whatever that may be, you can email me or go to my website. There's a speaker's inquiry section there. And invite your friends to join us same time next week. And any comments or questions you may have, go to my social media sites or email me. I really encourage hearing just some thoughts that you may have regarding this topic today, challenging what you know, some feedback. I always love feedback and to understand just where your thought process is with this particular topic. So, again, thank you for honoring me with your time this morning. And I want you to take some of the things, the food that we've had this morning to start our day off with the bloom, take it to heart, consider some of the things, and get out there, let the seed take root, and start living your life in full bloom. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.